Good morning. It's a day the Lord hath made. It's a day to rejoice. It's a day to be glad. Today's message in this whole series is what I'm calling a template. It is a template to survival. It's a survival guide for 2022. Let me read the word of the Lord from 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. In fact, this is, and I put the word real. In fact, this is real love for God, to keep his commandments. This is in the contrast to what's been written about carnal thinking. Now, already put your glasses on to see what I'm trying to lay out in front of you to look at right now. We're living in a time right now where you need to put the glasses on so that you can see and understand what we're talking about right now. In fact, this is real love for God, to keep his commandments. That's contrasting carnal thinking, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes, and I put in parentheses, the carnal world. When you see the world, think in terms of the carnal world, the world without God, the world that thinks I don't need God, the thinking that means that I am smarter and I know more. He says, everyone born of God overcomes the carnal world. Now that also tells me that it is possible to speak against the world thing that comes against you. So I encourage you right now. And he says, this is the victory. Aren't you glad to hear this is the victory? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, here's the survival key question right now. Who is it that overcomes the world? Now, let's get a little specific right now. Who is it? Only, say only. Only the one, the whosoever one, by the way. That means anybody can do it if we are in him. Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Before I even get off the bus today, let me say something to you right now. You will not make it in this year, the years ahead, and even in the future if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's okay, pal. Don't worry about it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's on. I got it. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a hard time surviving the rest of what's going on. That is our key. My question is, can this be any more clear? This is how I must focus my faith. And I ask myself when I read that word and when I have the experience of the history of a personal walk and a personal relationship, my question is, why is this so hard? Why is it so hard right now? I found out this. Many don't care. That's why. Many don't care. Many don't care. I see especially people who have raised families, and maybe as a parent or even as a child, they were raised in the ways of the Lord, and then life took them in another direction, and they've become a parent now. And I've seen it over and over, and perhaps what the parent believes is not what a child or a grandchild believes with the passage of time. Now, there are so many things coming that this world, this carnal world, is coming at all the time. You've got to stay awake at night to counteract the balance of what is the word that's going to be the most thing. The thing you're trying to do right here is that you're trying to outweigh the other things that are coming at them all the time with the word of the Lord. How is it so hard that the people can't receive the word right now? It's not important in their lives. And then henceforth, those who have come after, they've not seen it modeled or taught as the go-to option. Not the don't only under glass and only break during an emergency like a fire alarm, but the go-to option each day, it's the word. It's not been modeled. Last week, I opened with three important words that started this entire study. Three important words. As a matter of fact, this morning at about 20 minutes after 7, I heard those same three words uttered in my face this morning. I woke up. She had been reading. She's fully verbal at that time. It takes me till about, you know, I'm just getting there right about now, you know. But she's fully verbal. She's flat-footed. She's got it. She's got a book in both hands. She's got the whole thing going there. And we're reading. And she made this statement. She says, I can't believe. And then she went on with it. Any of y'all say that? I can't believe that. And that's part of our family lore. That's part of our family story. I can't believe. Well, finally, one day, the little one, the smallest one's in the back seat. Mom, believe it. Mom, believe it. There, in other words, this is the reality of it. And he's trying to give us a reality check. We're talking, and actually when she said, I can't believe it, it was based around this concept. The word is here. I can't believe that it's a problem. I can't believe people don't go to it. I can't believe that there's a problem. And I'm going to tell you why there's a problem right now, because the carnal world knows that there is power in that word. So it does everything it can to question it, to question it. It may not come right out, but it goes all the way back to the garden. You know, if the tempter had come to Eve and said, God's real stupid, God's real mean, God. No, it was always with a question. Had God not said? Did God say? Starting with a question. Well, why can't? Why can't? And when we live in the more of the why can't instead of how much can I get close to you, God, we are going to have a problem. And Linda said, I can't believe. Well, this is, I'd like to turn it around. And I go a little bit different with the same thought. I say this, how can they believe this? How can they believe this? We watch things over and over, and this was part of my intro to you last week, but things are a little bit different in the world today. It is not the Leave It to Beaver world. It's not Ward, go upstairs and talk to the Beave. It's not Father Knows Best. It's not all those things anymore, because lives are different. But I will tell you, I got to just be upfront with you. One guy wrote it this way. He said, I refuse to argue with anyone born after 1995. Y'all can't even write in cursive, and you can't read a clock. So here we are. I can't get red in the face, and I keep asking, I can't believe, or how can you still believe this? I have to realize it happens. Maybe the wisdom of the boy was right. The world is different than it is today. We're dealing with different things. Priorities are way different. Only in America right now can you find a kid wearing $200 tennis shoes, drinking a $7 cup of coffee, typing on a $1,000 iPhone, complaining on social media how he is oppressed and how capitalism has failed him and the society as a whole. Well, it gets us to it. How can they believe it? How can they believe it? Well, we got a battle today of two words, two F words. Got your attention? Two words. Two F words this morning. Here's the war. Faithfulness versus foolishness. Faithfulness versus foolishness. This is, put your glasses on and you'll understand 2022 a whole lot better, because the gap is between faithfulness and foolishness right now. What does a fool believe? A fool chooses to disregard God and his wisdom. A fool acts contrary to biblical wisdom in his choices and in his behavior. A fool walks in his own wisdom. A fool does not understand or even acknowledge the protection and the safety of God's word in his life. I find it sad. And when I said, how can they believe us? I find it sad, but the word calls it foolish. I gave you two words that you'll hear this week and next week, because it is the core of what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to lay in your lap. Two big words on how we navigate. How do we survive? What is my template as a survival guide for 2022? And I gave you two words, and each week I'm going to talk, next week I'll even talk a little more on these two words. You remember, first word was discernment. The second word was discretion. Discernment, discernment. First off, here's what you got to do. You got to know that first off, it's your relationship with God. It is your relationship. That is your job. That's your job priority, your relationship with God. First off, and I gave you some good advice last week. Number one, I said, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't get out crazy. Don't get out over your skis, as I said a few weeks ago. Stay in your lane. What is your lane? Your lane. What does the word say for me? Do I really believe this? Do I really? And if you, even if you have questions about it, lay it before him. Open your heart. Now, King David said, pour out your heart to God. Go ahead and talk to God. He's heard all those things before. You're not going to offend God. You're not going to. The only way you offend God is when God extends himself, that you shake your fist in God's face and you turn from God. That's the only time you're going to have a problem there. But we need to walk in such a way, if possible, avoid the situations that are going to create problems, that you're not able to even get through at times. A lot of times people want to sing the words and sing the songs, but yet they'll put themselves back in a negative situation, a fearful, even a situation where they're spewing going forth against God's word and gets the word, and even just angry attitudes and rage that's so big right now. Remove yourself from rage. Remove yourself from those things there. And maybe you're in where you can't sometimes. Maybe you're in an office. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't do that. Maybe you're in a school situation. You can't do that. You can ask God to actually put, we pray for the babies.
when we've dedicated babies, and it was prayed over all of us, and we hold them, and we use that terminology, that word, and the terminology is, let there be a hedge of protection around each one of them in Jesus' name. I believe that is not just a dedication prayer. I believe that's a prayer for 2022. Let there be a hedge of protection around me right now. And I must be in understanding. I've actually had to walk in situations, Lord, be with me. Lord, protect me. Lord, cover me with your shield right now. And I've had to walk into some things and some situations where I knew it was hostile to me from day one and square one, but I had to do it. I couldn't avoid it. And I can tell you, every time he will get you through it. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. We need discernment. We need discretion. How many of you, I saw this. I saw, it's a real cute little, it was actually the penmanship of a little guy. And he's like in third or fourth grade. And he was writing this note of what he wanted to be. He said, I really wanted, and he started talking about his dream of what he wanted to do. He said, but right now I'm surrounded by idiots. He said, like that. But he had a dream. He had a dream. First off, stay in your lane. What is your lane? The word of the Lord. The sowing the word of the Lord in your heart. And the second thought in dealing with that, the second word was ground yourself. Ground yourself how? I gave you a big sentence last week. Ground yourself and immerse yourself in the word of the Lord. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't put yourself. We find ourselves, but quit going to things that are going to create the problem for us right now. Do you understand that right now? Quit doing those things that you know are going to be a problem. You can't keep going. You can't keep touching that because it's going to bite you or it's going to burn you. Right. Stay in your lane. Be aware of your circumstance. You may have to take a detour sometimes, but don't put yourself. And then I said, because if we don't do this, the sin that overtakes us, the spirit of what we're dealing with right now, that the scripture calls foolishness because we reject the way of the Lord. I said, it is debilitating and it is deteriorating. It will make you weak. It will then eat away at you and you will fade away right now. What happened to Samson when he kept putting his hand close to the hot flame? Very slowly, he starts deteriorating on the inside. His word, his faith, the covenant that was in him, it started getting further away because the thing that he kept wanting to touch began to eat that thing away right now. It began to eat it away. And then when it came time to stand up, he could not even lift his arms. He was debilitated. And that's what happens. So today, we understand what is the word of 2020? Avoid the foolishness. Avoid the clamor right now. Solomon gave us vivid pictures of the characteristics of a fool. You remember last week I read the word in Proverbs. I read about 11 verses, but in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, the last verse I read from Solomon said this: as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. You got that? That's where we stopped right there. Now, where I got last week, time-wise, it wasn't timely for me to do this, and I did not have enough time, and I had to move a little quicker. So I want to go back to part of a scripture, not all of it, just a part of it. This is such an important thought that Solomon delivered in Proverbs that even later in his ministry, you see Paul addressing these concepts, but also you see Peter writing very strongly in 2 Peter. He spends a whole time in the second chapter of 2 Peter, and he spends a lot of time talking about not only the church leaders, which he was dealing with, not only the natural leaders, he was calling them hypocrites. He was talking about those who target souls, targeting souls that were weak and weary right now. And here's what it said about people that have turned away, and really a fool, have turned away from the word of the Lord. And this is one statement. He said, they have a heart trained in covetous practice. Now I stopped right there. Now here's what jumped at me right there. You can train your heart. 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 It hurts. It's hard. It's work. Well, I got an affection for this. You might have to retrain it and point it in another. The scripture actually says they have trained their heart in covetous practices, trained their heart in foolishness, trained their heart in words that are against God. And it was actually trained their hearts to go after vulnerable people and to take them out. In fact, one word it's talked about, they just blabber on and on and on. And he goes into the whole thing, and you know the story about Balaam. He said that they have forsaken their way like Balaam. And they thought they were so smart like Balaam that God even used a donkey to speak to him. They're full of false doctrines, false promises, false truths. And in fact, he even calls people that even leaders, whether they're political leaders, spiritual leaders, in business leaders, whether, and they're standing up and they're just spouting something. You know what the Bible calls them? Wells without water. Nothing there. Nothing there. But and he said they speak great swelling words to impress. Great swelling words of emptiness, actually, it says. That's what we're living in right now. You're seeing people drawn to great swelling words of emptiness. I read some swelling words of emptiness we heard just last week. Let me give it to you. Gas prices are high due to gas prices not being as low as before. To get back to lower prices, we have to acknowledge gas is high, which is the opposite of low. Bert and Ernie told us that 30 years ago. I told you that last week. But I bring you to the point. In 2 Peter, he quotes what Solomon said after he's been talking about people that lead folks astray, that lead them with empty words, empty promises, that play on their fears, that plays on their part of their hearts that are not right now. And this is really a strong, strong word. Here's what I left out. Let's pick up. Chapter 2, verse 20. For even if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. And the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Stop right there. I call this full-fledged fooldom. And he's saying the word, these people knew God. Even the natural leaders, they knew what their jobs were, to minister to the people, to lead the people, but they took advantage of them. God gave them that ability. He said, but for them to, having known the word of the Lord, and this word pollute, and the pollutions of what we're living in right now, of foolishness. This is quite a harsh statement. He said, for it would have been better for them not to have even known the way of righteousness. Now, this is huge. This is huge. It also shows our responsibility to the word after it's been laid in our hand. It would have been far better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. To me, that's a frightening type statement. There are friends that I have. I have some friends that I did services with. I've had friends I've stood next to and sung with. I've had friends that I've sat under them and heard their word. And they got to a point in time that the pollutants of everything came and stole the word out of them. And now they say things and speak things, and I go, I can't believe it. And then it turns into me, and I go, how can they believe that? They know different. They know the power of God. They know the anointing of God, because that level got louder in their heart. It got louder in their ears right now. And here's what he said. He said, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. The fool never learns. That is the problem. That's the glasses you need to understand. We're going through things right now in our world that have never worked in history. Never worked in history. Never once worked in history. But they're taking us back into those areas. I gave you the statement I've given to you a few times. I'll just put it back up. Do not return to what the Lord has delivered you from. That's pretty strong right there. That's way strong. Don't return to what the Lord has delivered you from. See, in the natural, I'm gonna go a little deeper with you right now. We're going deeper into the word right now. You look at the natural dictionary. The natural dictionary, when it talks about someone being foolish, here's what a natural dictionary says. The sense of one who hates wisdom, who walks in folly, that despises wisdom and despises morality. That's in a dictionary. It's probably going to be revised down the road. But what does a fool believe? The Bible tells you what a fool believes. Solomon told us in Proverbs 1:7, it is a fool who despises wisdom and then walks in folly. Are we living in that all around us in 2020 today? I think so. And it's not just in the world, it's in church. It's in everything, it's in business, it's in entertainment. It's everything that we touch right now. By the way, when you use the word the fool, you're not talking about somebody who is lacking in mental powers, mental problems. I know you might think of me that way sometimes. Not the one who is weak in the mind, but one who misuses truth. The Unger's Bible Dictionary says it this way, that it leans more to a moral than to an intellectual deficiency. It's a moral deficiency. You understand? It's not. So don't think that. Don't think I'm making fun of somebody. It is the deficiency of a morality that is grounded on this is what the word of the Lord says. I don't want to leave it negative of what a fool believes. Let me tell you what I believe today. I believe what a man wrote to a young man one day. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1. He's talking, and this is Paul. He said, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. This is New King James. NIV says there is no cause for shame. We may be going through things and we, you know, you feel afraid or shameful. For here's my template for 2022. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Persuaded means convinced. I'm locked in. I am persuaded. I can see it. I can feel it. I can smell it. What's coming and it's vomiting forth in culture and in our world and even in our minds and out of our TVs and out of our radios and out of our magazines and out of our computers. It's coming toward us right now. But I am persuaded that he is able. You got that? When you're the most overwhelmed and you can't avoid some things, when you can't move yourself and you're overwhelmed, you just have to know, I believe, I'm persuaded that God is able, get this, to what? To keep that which I have committed to him. Stop. In order to say that part of the sentence, there had to be a time where you have committed yourself, your life, your walk, your belief, your money, your house, your kids, your whole world that you walk in, your future, you're laying it in his, it is a commit, we are committing it to him to keep that which I have committed to him. A lot of times people are asking to God to do things in their lives and they haven't gone back to square one and committed their life to him, committed their direction. That's why you have to know Jesus before you know anything else right now. He says, I committed, that means to put in his hands. Why is that? Because I wrote these statements in my margin. I trust him. I've put it in his hand because I trust him. Have you ever had, we will be out somewhere and maybe we're in a restaurant somewhere and I are in a place and I'll say to her, hey, here, hold this for me. Keep this right here. I trust her. She's going to keep it and I can walk away and I know when I come back, it's there waiting for me. Does that make sense? This is when you are overwhelmed and don't have the answer. Lord, I want to commit this to you. And I have enough faith that you are able to keep that thing until I show back up. And it's even going to look better than when I gave it to you right now. I have committed to him until that day. That day. Now, that, there's multi-levels of this word of that day. Some translation will write it as the day of Christ. The day he comes back. I like to write it until the day we stand before him and he returns it to us better than it was before. I believe this, what I've committed to him, and he's going to lock into it until he comes. He's going to lock into that covenant agreement until he comes. Oral used to like to pray a lot of times, and we'd be talking about, and he would, you'd hear him talk about it all the time, and I heard him say it hundreds of times, and I heard him tell her and me, he'd grab me, he said, I'm coming into agreement with you, and I'm not coming out of it. I thought that was so cool. I'm coming into agreement with you and I'm not coming out of it. And he would tell me that over and over. I heard him say that to her over and over. He has come into an agreement with us. He's not coming out of it. But first, we've got to move in our part of the agreement. So here's the challenge. You ask me what I believe? I believe those first few verses. I believe verse 13. So hold fast the pattern. Remember I said this word is a template? Remember? It's a template. Got to fill in those blanks. It's already done, laid out for us. It is a good pattern. What is the pattern? Of sound words. That's good teaching. Which you've heard from me. I've been doing it, he said. In faith and in love. Oh, by the way, he said, I've been delivering it to you in faith and love. That's the way the word ought to be delivered. Okay? Some of you maybe grew up in church situations where the guy didn't think he'd preach until he'd spanked all of you and ripped you up and kicked you real hard and made you feel guilty till you walked out. But the word should be, here's the word, and that's somebody who's either not prepared or doesn't understand his role there. I might say some difficult things, but you've never not heard it with faith to encourage you to push you forward, and you've not heard it with love. Maybe sometimes it hadn't been as loving as it should have been, but that he said, that's what I've done. I've said these things to you. I hope I'm making sense to you. He said, I've delivered, you've heard these things from me in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you. That means the great deposit. The deposit that God gave him, he said, I'm giving it to you. I'm entrusting it to you right now. And it is committed to you. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Again, I see these words of discernment and discretion. I was being funny with you a little while ago about people that I can't reason with these today. But let me just give you some loving advice, though. This is in the area of discretion and staying in your lane. Don't waste energy arguing with a fool. Solomon said it this way, Proverbs 23. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. How many times, I don't know, it may be arrogance, it may be humanity in me, it may be something that I got to deal with, but if they just shut up, I could just tell them, and I'm expecting them to have the aha moment, we skip away happily ever after, but rarely does that happen, because the person on the other end has to be receptive to the word, and there's no way to be receptive to the word unless it is open heart to what the Lord is saying right now. So you have to have a little discretion, a little bit of discernment. Fools corrupt everything they touch. Today we see it more than ever. Even if they don't have facts, they just make it up. They'll say anything. We've learned a new hook line. I trust science. And I trust science. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. I wasn't very good at it. Somebody told me the other day, you know how old you are? They got about 20 more elements in the periodic table than when you learned it in high school. But people change things. Let me talk about just one thing right now. I'm not going to do a lot. I could do a lot. I've been very, very concerned about when I told you that fools corrupt things, everything they touch. The scripture tells us, let me lay it out quick. The scriptures tell us that when God looks down at Adam, and he and Adam have been palling around the universe, don't know how many eons that was. He looks at him one day and he realizes, I'm doing some other things. Adam needs a little company here. It's not good for him to be alone, was the verbiage that God used. God created woman. Somebody said, why did he name him woman? Well, he woke up, he rubbed his eyes, he looked at that thing leaning up against the fence, and he went, whoa, man. He never felt those emotions before, but he knew it was good. Tell you how good he knew it was. He looked at it and prophesied. He said, this is going to be so good that the man needs to leave his father and mother and hold on to that. How you know it's prophecy? He didn't know what a father and mother was. He didn't have a father and a mother. But vavum, he knew whatever father and mother was, it wasn't as good as that going to. Got it? Okay. Now, over and over, the word says that relationship is type and shadow and a template to help us understand of the concept of Christ and the church. You got that? The bride of Christ. Last week I even read, having no spot, no, I read that last week in the scripture. Do you see that? So however, if that, in the beginning of time as we understand it, the very first out-of-the-box thing that God did with regard to humans and human relationship in comparison to God, if they can go all the way back and corrupt that thing and the identities of those things, then you've got the presupposition, well, if that's that way, this is this. That's why we're in, it is that questioning, that demonic evil thing right now. This thing that's going on right now. I can't pull for the Cleveland Indians anymore. But if I had an 8-year-old little boy, he could tell his teacher he didn't want to be a boy. Figure that out. Her name is Rachel. Well, that's what the name's being called. I think it's Bob. Assistant Secretary of Health. So transgender youth need to be empowered to get gender affirmation treatment, said on MSNBC last Monday. And they just went, okay. Levine is a transgender, said youth are threatened by mental health issues. You think? The treatment of these youth should affirm their perceived gender identity and empower them to get sex change treatment. We're talking about students. Students! When you were eight-year-olds, you were eating mud and boogers. Here's the quote. Andrea Mitchell sat there and nodded. So we really want to base our treatment to affirm and to support, empower these youth not to limit their participation in sports, even limit their ability to get gender affirmation treatment in their states. And when I told you they make stuff up, watch this leap. Watch this leap. If you're not paying attention, you'll fall for it. She endorsed the president's executive order expanding access to sex change treatment, not for adults, for children. And here's the quote, said there is no debate. Tell you why there's no debate. Anybody that debates otherwise gets shut down. There's no debate within the medical community. That's a lie. No debate within the medical community about whether children who believe they're transgender should receive these treatments. She calls them she talks about puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones and surgeries. Trans youth are vulnerable. They're suffering from notice the misdirection. There's always a misdirection. They're suffering from politically motivated attacks through the actions of a state not allowing them to do it. That's a misdirection. Everything this thinking of today touches, they corrupt. You can bastardize that relationship of that man and woman, which is the picture of Christ and the church. You are already in fooled and full-fledged. Somebody asked me, who do you read sometimes? It's a guy by the name of Larry Alex Taunton. He's a historian. He's a well-traveled man. He actually debated at Oxford against Christopher Hitchens and things like that. He's not your typical church boy. But he's kind of rough around the edges at times. But Larry Alex Taunton, I've developed a back and forth with him. And he's written, I put a beautiful article a few weeks ago on our Facebook page that nobody read. And he takes the word from Hebrews chapter 1 and compares it to the world in which we live in today. And they make stuff up. Transgenderism, Larry Alex said, is a fake word for a fake classification for a fake gender. And it's not just the foolishness that should be casually dismissed. We should be aware of what we're really seeing. It's a deeper action whereby we must be discerning. If you read what Rachel said here in the word, you'd believe, well, we got to do this because it's cruel. That is not the transition to the wording was corrupt, and it was totally dishonest, and it was demonic because this person is filled with demons. There's another man who probably 3 years ago, we'd have not much in common with at all. He was with one of the high-end Ivy League universities. He was the darling. His name is Michael Rechtenwald. Something happened. I believe there's as a little child, the word of the Lord was put in him, but he went to the highest echelons. Highest echelon, I won't go into the school that he was in, as a professor. And he was the one that would pick up anything that might offend you. Michael Rechtenwald, something is going on with Michael Rechtenwald. I wrote him in a note. I said, you sound like a Damascus Road in progress, a secular man. And he's written me back about 3 or 4 times. Linda has seen the notes there. And he's written some incredible new books that maybe you ought to read. You got to wade through them. He's smarter than all of us in the room right now. There are words you might have to look up. But there's something churning in him right now. And Michael Rechtenwald, just this week I communicated with him. He was very sick a few months ago, and I wrote him, not even thinking he'd get it. He wrote me back. The other day he said something in what he did, and he even used the little word, y'all pray for me, or something like that. He wrote me back. And he's saying words that if a preacher said it, he's a hater.
Michael Ruckenwald said transgenderism is more than a mental illness, which it is. It's also a cultural frenzy being fomented by ideological agendas to destroy what remains of the family, which has, at least since Marx, that's not Groucho Marx, that's Karl Marx for you, has been since Marx one of the objectives of leftism of what we're seeing today. This is not a Sunday school boy. You understand? He's rough around the edges on a lot of things. He and I will disagree on a whole bunch of things. But God is, when he saw the breakdown, and if you can just start from there, they're going to try to normalize that. I saw a young girl speaking for a college class just a few days ago. I saw the video actually this morning where she said, well, some of us deal with pedophilia and it's no difference than the other things that we do. Let me ask you a question. I told you 2 weeks ago, when I was in school, I didn't even know my teacher was married. I told you, I thought when Friday came, our teacher would put him in the closet and locked him in there till Monday. Normal, healthy adults do not get angry when they can't talk to 7-year-old children about sex. Predators and perverts do. The objective? Right now, I looked at it. How do I say what we're going through? They're trying to foster unity by division and diversion. Did you see what Levine said a minute ago? That was trying to bring unity out of division and diversion. I think God gave me that statement. You got to be loving. You should always be loving. You should always be kind. You shouldn't be mean. You're beating that thing. I was born this way. So was the mass shooter. So was the thief. The lift goes on and on and on. Our first breath was a carnal breath. Paul even said, there are things inside of me that every day when I wake up, I have to put them down. I have to stomp on them before I can even leave the house. I've got to train my heart. That's what Paul was saying to the word. Jesus said he didn't condemn. Yeah, Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but go. And Jesus said, and don't do it again. Train in your heart. But what is my posture during things? I see things and I want to be kind, but yet I want to point things out. And I don't want to act like people that represent what I supposedly represent. And they're in the streets and they're screaming and they're red-faced and they're acting stupid and silly. There's no testimony that comes out of that. Nobody going through that. It's the love of God. It's the kindness of God that draws people there. And I was really in my heart saying, how do you deal with these things that I know this is against the word, this not been, but what is my posture there? Number one, I'm never to be at a spot where I give up my belief. I don't sell out my belief. I don't bow to my belief, but I understand in the multi-levels of our world that I must allow people to make statements like that. That's part of what freedom is all about, because you'll see right now, people want to stop speaking anything. That's not freedom. But what do you do? What should be? Sometimes people think if they believe the word, they got to be mean. You don't. No, don't be mean. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Alistair Begg said it, I think, better than anybody. He said, and talking about what we're dealing with right now, he said, we cannot hate them because of God's word. He said, but we can't affirm them because of God's word. You see the balance there? You see, that's the way we ought to be. We shouldn't be mean. We shouldn't be with the club in our hand. We should not be known by what we're against, but by what we are for. But what we are for. What are we for? I believe that whatever I commit to his hand, he is going to keep it until that day. I believe his word is true. I believe this. What do you believe today? But Paul did say the effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. Deal with that. People say, all atheists are fools. Don't beat them all up. There's some fools with Bibles under their arms. Uh-oh. 90% of people in America believe in God. I'm not saying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but over 90% of people, they believe in God. Even the ones who claim the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they might say they believe in God, but they live their lives in such a way, as one writer said, they're a Christian atheist. They've got the bumper sticker, but what they're doing says, I don't really believe in God. Actually, if I read the word in Peter right, that it would have been better for them not to have known. The bigger fool is somebody who believes in God, but lives as if there is no God. That's how you get Methodist drag queens.
So let me tell you something. Don't be so busy pointing the finger at everybody on the outside that you're not making sure that you are in line, that you're walking before God, that you're staying in the lane, that you're getting it, and your kindness is speaking, and your word is strong inside right now. The bottom line, walking in their own wisdom. We must be people of discernment and discretion. I asked you, what have you done this week to sharpen your faith? What have you done this week to sharpen your faith? What have you done this week? What have you listened to? What have you done? What have you spoken? What have you run to make you stronger in the faith this week than you were last week this time? That should be a question we ask ourselves on Friday afternoon. What have you done this week to make yourself stronger in the word right there? I got a hit list. I'm moving fast. Some fool cues. The fool has faith in himself. Proverbs 3:5. Says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. A fool has faith in himself. That can be a Bible-carrying fool, or it can be an atheist fool. It can be an activist fool, or it can be a media fool, a medical fool. It can be whatever it is. That one says, trust in the Lord and do not lean to your own understanding. A fool ignores instruction. Trying to correct a fool, it says in Proverbs, is folly within itself. That's where your discretion and discernment come in. A fool practices evil. It's difficult to get fools to depart from evil, it says in Proverbs 14. A fool corrupts everything that he touches. Fools, let me tell you something really, really funny. Next week, I'm going to spend some time with this statement. People say, well, you shouldn't just look at people and judge them by how they look. You do it. We all do it. We all do it. Do you know that the Bible says, you can tell a fool by just how he walks down the street. You shouldn't be judging. I'm not saying be mean, but you just know that's a fool, so you will avoid it. And I told you fools corrupt anything that's good. I'm going to spend a whole chapter that you've probably never seen before in your whole life. You see, by the way, fools are also easy to fool. You got that? Next week. Their minds, why is that? Because their minds. Why do people buy everything they hear coming down the pike? Because their minds at square one and their hearts are already receptive to another alternative, to another road. And because of a problem, because of difficulty, maybe a church situation that was awful, an abusive person, an abusive teacher, abusive coach or things like that. And already there's an anger, and I understand and I have compassion for those people, but they're very easy to fool at that point there. Do you know that it says Ecclesiastes. It says, as dead flies cause a little bottle of perfume to stink, a dead fly can make it, a little foolishness will spoil great wisdom. In verse 3, I'll read it next week, says it this way. You can identify fools by just the way they walk down the street. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to walk down the street first by myself without somebody looking at me and saying, that's a fool. But let the word, here's your assignment. What are you going to do this week to sharpen your discernment? What are you going to do this week to sharpen your discretion? What are you going to do? Don't go with your preconceived go-tos. Some of you just quote scriptures over and over and you don't even know what it says, and you have not made a change. You just keep quoting the scriptures there. That's lack of faith. He said, I did it with faith. I give it with love. He said, but I commit it to him. What are you going to do this week to lay it in his lap? That's going to be your assignment. How do I bless you today, though? I was laughing the other day. I saw somebody sent it to me. Think about how things are different today in the cartoons. And I saw Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys. None better. What a patriot, Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers used to come in very early on Saturday morning. Couldn't get up for school. But boy, I could roll out at 7 o'clock and see Roy out there. I was as alert as Linda was. But my folks said the problem was you'd get out there in your underwear and put your guns on before your pants, and it didn't work quite right. Sit there and watch Roy. You know what? I'd wear those things around. I'd shoot out the back of the car. Didn't make me a mass murderer. I had a G.I. Joe. I like girls. It has everything to do with how you train your heart. Roy Rogers was a man that loved God with all of his heart. I was about 6. So taken to a place where Rogers is going to be there. And I had my whole outfit on. Not just one gun, 2 guns. And there was Roy. And there he was sitting on Trigger. Remember the story in the Bible where Simeon, after he sees Jesus, and he says, I can die now, I've seen it all. It's where I was. Here was old Roy sitting up on his horse, and there was Trigger. And I'm looking at the saddle and all that stuff. And Roy had those boots with all the ostrich things painted on it and the frill on his shirt, and he had that hat. And that was Roy, man. He was there. And I remember that. And they picked me up so I could get close to him. And Roy leans over to me and calls me by my name and stuck his hand out at me. And they said, they said that when I did it, it was like I went. I never forgot it. So Roy has a blessing for you today that's very profound. He used to say this all the time, and Roy said it this way. Until we meet again, may the good Lord take a liking to you. Lean into him this week. Sharpen your faith. Sharpen your discernment. Don't fall for everything you see and hear. I've been on this ever since a few months ago. I said, God's people need God's word. And I drew the line where I said, you must make sure this is what you're hearing every day. And you must make sure that what you're putting in comes to the point that it outweighs those things in your life so that you're able to discern, understand, and know what God wants. Next week, Ecclesiastes, it's a blast. Bring a friend. It's going to be fun. Stand to your feet.